Thank you to the choir. One of the privileges of being the body of Christ is we get to walk alongside people as they go through various challenges. We also get to celebrate with them. And I look out here in the congregation. I know several of you have had a hard March, a hard winter, and have some things coming up that you need our prayers for. And we lift you up. And at the same time, I mentioned we get to celebrate. And March in this church is full of a lot of birthdays. And I'd like to recognize one today. His grandchildren call him Granddad, and I call him Dad. Happy birthday to Granddad back there. And I hear the Gamecock basketball team. I hear Gamecock basketball is going to try to give you a championship this afternoon. Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your name. Silence our voices, Lord, and may we hear yours only. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to do something a little bit different with our scripture reading this morning. I ask for you to take out your Bibles. We're going to do this in unison. It's four verses. One of the things in seminary when you read scripture is you kind of hope that you're not going to be the person that has to read some of those hard names that you see sometimes in the Bible. And this is a passage where you're not going to see any of those names. And so when you have opened your Bible to Genesis 12, verse 1, please look up. And then I'll know to start. Okay. In unison. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God's command to Abram in the first verse sounds like an encourager to a high school senior. Leave the familiar, break free from your family, be your own person. If that college is 1,000 miles away, but it's the one for you, go for it. Oh, honey, just trust that things will work out. This encourager, though, doesn't have to face the consequences if things don't work out like it was hoped. How many times have we all thought, well, that's easy for you to say. You're not the one having to do it. In 2016, UCLA released a detailed study analyzing the longitudinal trends of first-year college students around the country. Hundreds of colleges and universities submitted data for this survey over the span of 50 years. So this is a pretty comprehensive survey. And included in the survey were things that are basic demographic information, like race, ethnicity, age, parents' marital status. But also was asking things about college admission, high school GPA, the importance of that, AP and IB coursework, what's important to a college admissions office, program of study trends. But for our purposes today, it's necessary to know that this survey also analyzed career aspirations among its respondents. See if any of the trends here surprise you. Again, this was released in 2016. Between 1966 and 2015, there was a 107% increase in the number of students wanting to be a doctor. There was a 57% increase in the number of students wanting to be a nurse. An 80% decrease in the number of students wanting to be a K-12 teacher. And a 70% decrease, and this one hits home, a 70% decrease in the number of students who had clergy aspirations. Perhaps some of these students will turn into clergy women and men when they have their second career call at the ripe age of 75, like Abram. Yes, Ed, we know that many college students enter college with plans of stable careers after they graduate. And perhaps they've always wanted to be a doctor, be a nurse. Perhaps, like Abram, they're close to their family, and a family person is pushing a particular well-paying career. Mom or dad's a little worried about the return on investment from that college education. But if enrolling in a college is all about finding yourself, what happens at the end? What happens when you enter the workforce? Have the opinions changed? Well, LinkedIn is here to connect you with that information. They surveyed two different groups, and they found out some news that will probably not be a surprise to many of you. One group was composed of those who were high school or college seniors who were about to graduate, and the other group consisted of people who were within their first 2 years in their first professional job. Among those still in college who were pursuing their first professional job, here's what was discovered. Compensation was cited as important by 61%. Pride was cited as important by 36%. Though personally, I wonder if that statistic's a little bit off. I wonder if some people felt squeamish about saying, yes, I want to feel important. Security was cited as important by 34%. And then among the group who are already working, some numbers jumped. Almost 70% of those surveyed who are already in the workforce said compensation was important. And they also placed a higher value on security. They wanted a safe, comfortable return on the financial and time investment from their prior work experience or their time in college. I say this to give some context into today's scripture. What Abram did was bold. Abram, the one with his family at the time of the call, the 75-year-old man who probably planned to enjoy retirement with his wife, dropped everything and followed God's advice. Can you imagine? We can assume that God did not hand Abram a pamphlet describing this new land. There were no pretty pictures, no golf courses, no fancy restaurants, no promised high-paying jobs, and yet somehow Abram, this man who had not been given the son he wanted, Abram, the one with the barren wife, chooses to follow the God who up to this point had seemingly seemed distant. Makes sense, right? It's almost as if Abram was given a stock tip from God and chose to go all in. When you hear this call story, what are Abram's traits that maybe you admire? Is it his boldness? Is it his courage? Is it that he's the chosen one, the one promised to be blessed if he'll just follow this command to trust God? These sound a lot like traits you and I are capable of, and maybe we already have them. But maybe you think he's just a little off. Maybe Abram's a little bit crazy. And if you identify with some of the respondents in the LinkedIn survey, you have to question why he would give up the life that he's used to, the life surrounded by family, familiarity, and perhaps the one that, while it has not given him a reprieve from barrenness, sounds a lot more secure. Speaking of myself here only, I find myself imagining this made-up, comfortable version of Abram's life that we know he ultimately did not pursue. Think that it sounds nice, the stability, the safety of knowing what will most likely happen tomorrow, the worry about letting go of the deck and being completely in the pool. Abram is offered a lot of things from God if he decides to let go of that paid smooth deck. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse the one who curses you. But there's just one thing I need you to do. The hurdle, though, is he needs to decide what he truly desires. One theologian argues these offerings from God are an index of what we crave. See if any of these sound like something the LinkedIn or UCLA survey respondents craved. Well-being, security, prosperity, prominence. So hearing these items, here's how the scripture for this morning reads with a few substitutions. I will make you a great person. I will make you prosper. I will make you successful. And I will make your name important. I will make you prosper. I will make your name important. I will make you successful. Where do I sign up? Good news is you don't even have to sign a form. There's no small type-sized font at the end to make sure you closely read. There are no certifications saying, I understand that successful should not be viewed from a monetary standpoint. I understand my name is not important due to how many friends or followers I have on social media. I understand my prosperity does not involve my IRA, my stocks, or the social status of my career. Instead, we get to mentally check the box that says, I read all of these certifications and understand the implications because we've done two things. We've read the scripture and we have faith that the God who promises to be with us will truly be with us. The power of understanding God's presence cannot be understated. Abram did not ask for a sign to prove this calling was originating from God. Instead, he trusted that letting go of the deck could lead to something different and something better. Within this church, many of you have made changes in your professional and personal lives to care for someone close to you. You felt your presence was needed in a different way, and you chose to take a different path. Whether it's a parent, spouse, or child, this emotional and physical toll can challenge anyone. Forest Lake Presbyterian Church is filled with compassion within its walls and beyond, a compassion that somehow finds its way into every minute of every day in various situations in our homes around Columbia. Some of you have left a professional family, a family that helped you achieve or could have helped you achieve this coveted financial prosperity, stability, social status, and strong name recognition. Instead, you left the material professional family and reinvested your time into something else that you believe is more meaningful. And the fact that we have many caregivers in this church is not surprising based on recent research. AARP data has found that more than 43 million Americans have provided unpaid care to an adult or child within the past month. And I bet you're going to find a whole bunch of education and professional training in this group, among this 43 million. Many have sacrificed their professional lives. Among the caregivers for adults, a quarter of them have been doing it for more than 5 years. Among all caregivers, 63% not just provide physical care, they're on the phone with doctors and administrators, insurance companies, and all other administrative tasks that are needed. And some of the physical tasks require only care that a trained nurse could typically administer, but many caregivers are now doing it themselves. 62% of high-burden caregivers are performing medical tasks without preparation due to the urgency of the situation, the needs of the care receiver, and the time for the caregiver. The caregiver needs may be such that the most efficient way is just to do it at home by themselves with their caregiver. It may be efficient for the care receiver, but it involves a lot of time commitment, time, energy, financial resources from all involved. And among those caregivers who are helping more than 20 hours, 11% recently turned down a promotion at their job, and 12% gave up work entirely. they're operating under the assumption that the promise of being with their care receiver is more important than an investment into name recognition and status. But it starts with trusting the promise that the joys of being a member within the chaotic family of materialism is not always the secret to a blessed life. And yet, I bet if you ask most, if not all, of the caregivers about the return on this investment that probably isn't glamorous, doesn't add to your LinkedIn followers, most likely does not add to your financial security, they would probably give you a different response than what some of the college students or LinkedIn respondents would most likely say defines blessed. Who is more blessed here? Is it the one with the material power, the one who's left their old family, a family of fame, power, money, status, to care for someone who needs to be blessed? Or is it the one that's caught up in those things? What does God say to Abram? If you leave the old behind, the items that are craved, and invest in me, you'll get all of these things. And look at the caretaking God is offering on this investment. Look at how many times the word blessed is used in our scripture for this morning. 5 times in 4 verses. I've made the mistake at times of not realizing that what is perceived as comfort could actually be described and disguising as barrenness. And barrenness is something Abram and Sarah are familiar with. Something is missing. One theologian says to stay in safety is to remain barren, but to leave in risk is to have hope. The recreation of Abram's life, the recreation of a life that had already clocked in 75 years, could not have been without its challenges. We don't know much about Abram at this point. We don't know what was in his bank account, how many friends he had. We do know we had someone who figured out something out there is better. Something and someone that can provide and reassurance. And then he trusted a promise and invested wisely. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.